Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memor by Avraham Gold. All right, and today Maseches Nedarim, Daf Lamed Zayin, the fourth parak, Ein Bein Hamudar. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis taught. Malamdo Midrash Halachas Valgados, Aval Lo Yilamdenu Mikra. One may teach Amudar Hana, Midrash Halacha and Agada, but he may not teach a Mikra. The Gemara in the previous Daf asked that just as he may not teach a Mikra without payment, because the free service is a forbidden benefit, teaching a Midrash for free should likewise be forbidden. The Ran notes that the teaching itself is not deemed a benefit because mitzvahs lav lahanusni, the mitzvahs were not given for their benefit. The Gemara answers that our Mishnah is speaking where it was customary to remit payment for teaching mikra, but not for midrash, because while it's permitted to receive payment for teaching mikra, it is not in the case of midrash. The Gemara quotes the source requiring teaching Torah for free. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rei lamadti eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem. See, I have taught you laws and statutes like Hashem commanded me. We expound this to teach, ma'ani b'chinam afatem nami b'chinam. Just as I, Moshe, taught you for free, so too you should teach others for free. Point number two, the Gemara wonders what the difference should be between Midrash and Mikra, for just as Midrash must be taught for free, based on this pasuk, we should say the same for Mikra. Rav answers, schar shimur. The Mishnah is discussing payment for watching. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah is discussing teaching Mikra to minors who require supervision. Such payment is permitted to collect, therefore teaching at no charge would constitute a financial benefit for the student. Midrash, on the other hand, is usually taught to older children who do not require supervision, so payment is not permitted. Rav Yochanan answers, schar pisuk tamim. The Mishnah is discussing payment for teaching correct cantillation notes. These are not midrash and are thus not included in the prohibition of collecting payment for teaching Torah. The Gemara on the following Amud explains the basis of their dispute. Rav Yochanan was unwilling to explain our Mishnah based on supervision, because this would not apply to girls, as they do not need supervision since they do not usually go outside. Rav rejected the explanation of payment for cantillation notes, because he held cantillation notes are actually midraisa, for which the Gemara proceeds to provide the source. And point number three, the Gemara poses a challenge to Rav from a braisa. Tinokas lo koin betchil b'shabbos el shonim b'rishon. Children cannot learn new mikra on Shabbos, but they can review it for the first time. The Gemara reasons that according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is understood because since payment is for teaching cantillation notes, which is most difficult when teaching new material, payment is primarily for that session. Therefore, it cannot be taught on Shabbos since paid employment is prohibited on Shabbos. Reviewing would be permitted since he's not paid for reviewing. However, according to Rav, who explained that payment is given for supervision, both types of sessions should be equally prohibited. The Gemara responds that it is actually no less difficult according to Rabbi Yochanan because such payments are generally made by Havlah. Absorption, meaning the pay for Shabbos, is included in a lump sum for a number of days of service, which is permitted. Two other explanations of the Brites forbidding learning new material on Shabbos are presented. First, because their fathers would be reluctant to prevent their children from missing the new material taught, and their attending would detract from the father's Shabbos pleasure of spending time with their children. Secondly, because the children eat more than usual on Shabbos, they become lethargic, and it would be difficult for them to learn new material. So once again, the three points are number one, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis taught. Malamdo Midrash Halachas Valgados, Abalo Yilamdenu Mikra. One may teach Amudar Hana, Midrash Halacha, and Agada, but he may not teach a Mikra. The Gemara in the previous Daf asked that just as he may not teach a Mikra without payment, because the free service is a forbidden benefit, teaching a Midrash for free should likewise be forbidden. The Ran notes that the teaching itself is not deemed a benefit because mitzvahs lav lahanusni, the mitzvahs were not given for their benefit. The Gemara answers that our Mishnah is speaking where it was customary to remit payment for teaching Mikra, but not for Midrash, because while it's permitted to receive payment for teaching Mikra, it is not in the case of Midrash. The Gemara quotes the source requiring teaching Torah for free. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rei lamadti eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem. See, I have taught you laws and statutes like Hashem commanded me. We expound this to teach, ma'ani b'chinam afatem nami b'chinam. Just as I, Moshe, taught you for free, so too you should teach others for free. Point number two, the Gemara wonders what the difference should be between Midrash and Mikra, for just as Midrash must be taught for free, based on this pasuk, we should say the same for Mikra. Rav answers, schar shimur. The Mishnah is discussing payment for watching. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah is discussing teaching Mikra to minors who require supervision. Such payment is permitted to collect, therefore teaching at no charge would constitute a financial benefit for the student. Midrash, on the other hand, is usually taught to older children who do not require supervision, so payment is not permitted. Rav Yochanan answers, schar pisuk tamim. The Mishnah is discussing payment for teaching correct cantillation notes. These are not midraisa and are thus not included in the prohibition of collecting payment for teaching Torah. The Gemara on the following Amud explains the basis of their dispute. Rav Yochanan was unwilling to explain our Mishnah based on supervision, because this would not apply to girls, as they do not need supervision since they do not usually go outside. Rob rejected the explanation of payment for cantillation notes because he held cantillation notes are actually midiraisa, for which the Gemara proceeds to provide the source. And point number three, the Gemara poses a challenge to Rav from a braisa. Tinokas kol koin b'tchil b'shabbos el shonim b'rishon. Children cannot learn new mikra on Shabbos, but they can review it for the first time. The Gemara reasons that according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is understood because since payment is for teaching cantillation notes, which is most difficult when teaching new material, payment is primarily for that session. Therefore, it cannot be taught on Shabbos since paid employment is prohibited on Shabbos. Reviewing would be permitted since he's not paid for reviewing. However, according to Rav, who explained that payment is given for supervision, both types of sessions should be equally prohibited. The Gemara responds that it is actually no less difficult, according to Rabbi Yochanan, because such payments are generally made by Havlah, absorption, meaning the pay for Shabbos is included in a lump sum for a number of days of service, which is permitted. Two other explanations of the Brice for forbidding learning new material on Shabbos are presented. First, because their fathers would be reluctant to prevent their children from missing the new material taught, and their attending would detract from the father's Shabbos pleasure of spending time with their children. Secondly, because the children eat more than usual on Shabbos, they become lethargic, and it would be difficult for them to learn new material. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Lamed Zayin, and our standard Siman is laser tag. So here goes. The fun Rebbe who used a laser tag gun as a pointer to teach Torah for free did charge parents a small fee for supervision when teaching their children Mikra, and told the fathers there was plenty of time for them to be with their children on Shabbos when no new material is taught. Once again, it's slow motion. The fun Rebbe who used a laser tag gun, laser tag, that must be more Daf Lamed Zayin. The fun Rebbe who used a laser tag gun as a pointer to teach Torah for free, which reminds us, the Gemara quotes the source for requiring teaching Torah for free. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Re'e lamati eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem. See, I have taught you laws and statutes like Hashem commanded me. We expound this to teach, ma'ani b'chinam afatem b'chinam. Just as I, Moshe, taught you for free, so too you should teach others for free. So, the fun Rebbe who used a laser tag gun as a pointer to teach Torah for free did charge parents a small fee for supervision when teaching their children Mikra, which reminds us. The Gemara wonders what the difference is between Midrash and Mikra, for just as Midrash must be taught for free based on the Pasuk, we should say the same for Mikra. Rav answers, Schar Shimur. The Mishnah is discussing payment for watching, referring to minors who require supervision. Such payment is permitted to collect. Midrash, on the other hand, is usually taught to older children who do not require supervision, so payment is not permitted. Rabbi Yochanan answers, Schar Pisuk Tamim. The Mishnah is discussing payment for teaching correct cantillation notes. These are not midiraisa and are thus not included in the prohibition of collecting payment for teaching Torah. So, the fun Rebbe who used a laser tag gun as a pointer to teach Torah for free did charge parents a small fee for supervision when teaching their children Mikra, and told the fathers there was plenty of time for them to be with their children on Shabbos when no new material is taught, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a braisa that teaches children cannot learn new Mikra on Shabbos, but they can review it for the first time. Two explanations are presented. Firstly, because their fathers would be reluctant to prevent their children from missing the new material taught, and their attending would detract from the father's Shabbos pleasure of spending time with their children. Secondly, because the children eat more than usual on Shabbos, they become lethargic, and it would be difficult for them to learn new material. So once again, the fun Rebbe who used a laser tag gun as a pointer to teach Torah for free did charge parents a small fee for supervision when teaching their children Mikra, and told the fathers there was plenty of time for them to be with their children on Shabbos when no new material is taught. All right, so now we go to our four blot back Chazara. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Siman Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate. Peg leg pirate. That must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was mooter from food, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why a mooter from food would be prohibited to borrow kalim used to produce food, since he made a netter from the food itself. After the Gemara's first attempt was rejected, Rava answers that speaking about one who says, the benefit of your food is forbidden to me. Since he added the benefit, he means to include all items, including producing an edible food. Rav Papa asks, even a sack to bring food in would be included in this netter as a method of obtaining food, although it doesn't prepare the food itself. So the peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was muta from food, was surprised when the captive's friend jumped on the ship to pay off his debt, which reminds us, the Mishnah states about a muta hana, shokel is shekel, he can pay for his half shekel, pora is chovo, he can pay off his debt, umaksu lo savedo, so and he can return his lost item. The Gemara observes, Alma avruchi ari ba'alma hu vishari, we see that it's merely chasing away a line, and thus forbidden, meaning the first two cases, paying for his half shekel and paying off his debt, are not considered a benefit received, they are merely protection from a potential loss. So the peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was murdered from food, was surprised when the captive's friend jumped on the ship to pay off his debt and return the pirate's lost parrot, even though the pirate had forbidden this friend to benefit from him. Which reminds us, the Gemara records a machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Azar regarding in which cases one may return a lost item to a mudrana. The argument is in a case where the returner is prohibited from receiving benefit from the owner. One says he may not return the item in this case because while he's involved in returning the item, he's patur from other mitzvahs, including tzedakah, which potentially will save him money. The other opinion says that this potential benefit doesn't prohibit him from returning the item because it's uncommon for a beggar to come at the very moment he's tending to the lost item. Daf Lamed Daled, so the Simur Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. The man who ran up the ladder, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Daled. The man ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mudr hana, and who was chasing him to return his lost item, which reminds us. The Gemara challenges the opinion which held that the Mishnah is only speaking of where the returner is mudr hana from the owner. For the Mishnah states that in a place where people receive payment for returning lost items, tipo hana lehektish, the payment falls to hektish, if the returner refuses payment. If the Mishnah is only speaking where the returner is mudr hana, why does the payment have to go to hektish instead of the owner keeping it? The Gemara remains with a question. So the man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mudr hana and who was chasing him to return his lost item was overcome with emotion when he saw a man be makdish a loaf in his dalet amos and make sure not to be ma'al, which reminds Rabbah said, Haisel a fun of kikr shel hefker, if an ownerless loaf was in front of him, and he said, kikr zo hektish, this loaf should be hektish, the hektish takes effect. The Ron explains that the loaf was within his dalet amos, enabling him to acquire for himself, but since he declared it a hektish, he indicated he did not want to use his dalet amos to acquire it for himself, but for hektish. If he took it to eat it, he violated me'ilah according to its full value. But if he took it to bequeath it to his sons, he violated me'ilah only according to the benefit of pleasure derived from his children's gratitude to him. So the man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mudr hana and who was chasing him to return his lost item was overcome with emotion when he saw a man be makdish a loaf in his dalet amos and make sure not to be ma'al. So he yelled down to his neighbor that loaf that I made usher to you, I'm now giving you as a gift. Which reminds us, Rav Chiya bar Avin asked Rav, if one said, Kikar alech, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he gave it to his friend as a gift, what's the halacha? He explained that his query was that if the implication of my loaf meant to prohibit it only while it belonged to him, but once he gave it to his friend, it would not be included in his neder, or did he prohibit the loaf to him completely? Rava answered that he certainly intended it to remain forbidden even after gifting it, because otherwise, what purpose did he forbid the loaf to his friend? Rav Chiya bar Avin responded that perhaps his intent was only to exclude if he invited his friend to eat the loaf with him, that he may not do so, but he did not necessarily intend to prohibit the loaf after gifting it to his friend. Daf Lamed Hey, so the Simur Daf Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. When the Nedarim boys choir, that must be more in Daf Lamed Hey, la la la. When the Nedarim boys choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh Me'ilah Bekonamos, which reminds us of Rav's question to Rav Nachman, Yesh Me'ilah Bekonamos or lo? Is there Me'ilah for items forbidden by Konam or not? The Ron explains the question that if one declares that something is konam, is it like a carbon that one uses it violates me'ilah and is chayv in the requisite carbon and payment? So when the Nedarim boys choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh me'ilah bekonamos, the proud choir master mistakenly did me'ilah by treating to a kikar that was made usin to him and given to him as a present, which reminds us of Rav Acha Breda Rav Avia's question to Rav Ashi. If one said kikari alecha unasana lebamatana, mi ma'al, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he then gave it to him as a gift, who has violated me'ilah? If you'll say that the giver commits me'ilah by giving it, but it's not forbidden to him, the loaf is fully permitted to him for all benefits. If you'll say that the recipient commits me'ilah by accepting it, but he can say, Heter be'isi, isura will be'isi, I wanted permitted loaves, not forbidden ones. The Ron explains that the recipient can claim that he would not have accepted the loaf had he known it was prohibited, and it's therefore an acquisition made in error and should be void. So when the Nedarim boys choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh me'ilah bekonamos, the proud choir master mistakenly did me'ilah by treating them to a kikar that was made usher to him and given to him as a present. So a kohen gave him his card offering to be a shaliach and bring his carbon, which reminds us, the Gemara asked, Hanikahani shluchit idan havu or shluchit deshamaya? These kohanim, are they our agents in their capacity of sacrificing our karbanas or shluchim of shamayim? The Gemara explains that the nafka mina is if a kohen may sacrifice a karban for someone who's mudr hana from him. If he would be considered an agent of the owner of the carbon, he would not be allowed to sacrifice the carbon for him. The Gemara suggested a proof from our mission which stated, Makriv lev kinei zavim, one may sacrifice bird offerings of zavim for a mudr hana as well as other similar atonement karbanas. We see then that Kohanim are agents of Shemayim, for otherwise he would not be allowed to sacrifice for the owner. This answer is rejected because korbanos brought from Chusrei Kapara do not require the consent of the owner to be brought. Daf Lamed Vav. So the Simur Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The lulav merchant, lulav, that must be more Daf Lamed Vav. The lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining us Pesach, aside from his kids, who don't need to consent. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera explained that one cannot derive from the fact that one can register his children on the Karban Pesach without their consent, that he can register a friend on his Pesach without his consent, for Selaves Avos Lav Deraisa, the law of a lamb for each father's house, is not derisive for minors, since they can partake of the Pesach without registration. There is no basis to permit the registration of an adult without his consent. So, the lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining us Pesach, aside from his kids who don't need to consent, was surprised by the man who took truma from his own produce to permit a friend's teva. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Hator Mishalo Ashal Chavera, one who separates truma from his own produce on his friend's teva produce permitted. Sark Daito Olo, does he need his friend's consent or not? Do we assume the owner would want his produce permitted without his having to use his own produce, and his consent would not be required, or might he prefer to do the mitzvah himself, even at the cost of using his produce for truma? So the lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining his Pesach, aside from his kids who don't need to consent, was surprised by the man who took truma from his own produce to permit a friend's tevel, and then tell the merchant that if he gave him a free lulav, he'd give the truma to his kohen grandson. Which reminds us of Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question to Rabbi Zera. If one separates truma from his own produce to permit his friend's tevel produce, tovus hanas shel mi, to whom does the benefit of pleasure belong? Meaning, which of the two determines to which kohen to give the truma? All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we have the question whether there's me'ila with konamos or not? That's on daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you want if an ownerless loaf was in the Dalet Amos of someone and he said, Kikar Zo Hekdish, this loaf should be Hekdish. The Hekdish takes effect. That's on Daf. Lamed Dalet. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we learn? Selaves Avos registering on a Karban Pesach is not a derisive for minors. That's on Daf. Lamed Vav. Good. Number 4. Which of the one, the reason one may teach mikra for a fee is either schar shimur, supervision, or for teaching the trop, that's on daf. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 5, which daf you the question, are kohanim shluchim of ours or of shemaim, that's on daf. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 6, which daf do we discuss why a mudr hanaf from food is prohibited to borrow utensils used to produce food, that's on daf. Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we learn just as Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah for free, so should we teach the Torah for free? That's on Daf. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we discuss what we learn from the Gematrias 172 and 248 regarding Avraham Avinu? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we have the question whether one can take Truma from his produce to permit his friend's Tevel without getting his consent? That's on Daf. Lamed Vav. Good. And number 10. Which have they learned that no new material is taught to children on Shabbos either so the fathers can spend time with their children or that eating makes them more lethargic? That's on Daf. Lamed Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.